I'm here with Jerry Hemingway on WKCR FM New York and WKCR HD1. That last tune was something possibly similar to something you might hear Wednesday at the Stone of this week. He has residency there starting on Tuesday, going through Sunday. Perhaps you'd like to talk about that last one we just heard?
That's a Thelonious Monk composition called Oscati, and it slipped into our own repertoire. Naturally, it was a good fit, and we have a lot of fun playing the tune. It was, every performance is radically different from the next. It shows that Monk's compositions, which is not a surprise to those of us who are familiar with them, have a tremendous amount of flexibility, mm-hmm. and I might also say durability inside of any improvised environment, because they're so profoundly clear in their offering of their melodic offering is so recognizable and so durable that mm-hmm. you can try to deconstruct it, but it's always there.
Yeah,
it's kind of an outstanding feature of Monk's music, but. So it's interesting to use it as a vehicle for improvisation, and I thought it'd be interesting to segue that from how we used old scratchy recordings in the previous piece as a vehicle for improvisation. These are different methodologies of thinking about how one can approach improvised music. It's not just get together and play, and in some cases we work with these kinds of possibilities. So we're going to quickly move into the next night of the residency, which is Thursday of this week, and in this case we it's a two-part as all nights are, and the first part is concentrated on my song project. This song project emerged in the around 2000. I began to work on it. I was offered by the record company Between the Lines a opportunity to do whatever I wanted.
Wow.
And I was presented with a budget that was acceptable, low for what I actually really wanted to do, but still possible to work with it. But they turned, this was a carte blanche, do what you like. And I wrote back, I says, well, you know what? I've been thinking about songs all my life. I've been listening to them, and I always wanted to write some. And I want to challenge myself. And this is also partly my mentality that has emerged from time to time, is that I push myself into something uncharted, some uncharted territory for myself. This is, I think, almost in a way a kind of responsibility that I have towards my curiosity, and also a responsibility towards pushing myself as an artist to explore the potential of how my expression can unfold in different dimensions. And so that's how it went with this project of songs. I was correspondent to a difficult period of my life, so I had some things to talk about, and I was processing a lot of things in my life. That's reflected in some of the lyric and some of the songs. I also was reading a tremendous amount at that time and was curious about various historical pieces of history that were on my front burner at that time, and they're reflected in some of the songs as well. So the recording took 2 years of my life to produce, and it was modeled more or less after pop traditions, meaning that I was working in a way that would be familiar territory to, say, a band like Radiohead or Annie DeFranco or something along those lines. And I slowly developed a way in which I could make this music. And because I also used another methodology of pop music, which is to work with, in this case, I worked with one musician at a time. This band that you're going to hear now never actually played together. They only came one at a time through my door, listened to things that I had set up for them to listen to, reacted to them, imitated them, read them, whatever it was that I wanted them to do. Mm. And I recorded them and edited this thing as it was done in the form of a production. So I pieced the parts together. So in some cases, these songs were formed in post-production. In some cases, they were clear for me already. But again, one strand at a time, one thread was weaved together with another to come with a final thing. Now, you would never know that had I not explained it. You would assume that this band was recording in the studio. It's the way it sounds. It's made to sound that way. It has a natural feeling of a band playing together. But in all cases, it was everybody, one musician at a time. And the other thing that I found fascinating about this process was that I had an interaction with each musician, a rather deep one, actually, regarding the process of making this music and what the songs were about, and et cetera, et cetera. We talked a lot. And we really looked at things, and everybody who participated, particularly the core players, which was James Emery on guitar and Kermit Driscoll on bass, those two guys in particular, we had, you know, they really made many offerings to the process. They said, "Well, that's cool. What you did. Well, can we try something else? Let's try this." And all these different things where I would then take all their notions of my material and my own material and cut them together in different ways. This process took, I think I worked on it 14 hours a day for more or less 2 years.
Wow.
It was the most intense production I ever did in my life. It still is the most intense production I ever did in my life, although I've spent a lot of time on other recordings. You know, recordings for me, the ones that I make and release and give out as a, and I'm not alone, of course, but I put a tremendous amount of work into production and the possibilities of production.
Sure.
And I want people to have a recording that really means something and that they can really, they can spend their life with. It should have this richness to it. But this one was, it really put me through something, because by the end of the time I'd made this recording, I practically had no money. I was really in a desperate situation because I had only concentrated on it. I'd kind of forgotten about the rest of my career. And I hadn't booked any gigs. I wasn't really paying attention to my immediate future. Mm-hmm. And so I had to kind of emerge out of this and get practical and return to other things. This production was done once live to send off the CD. And so there, the very first time all these musicians met each other and performed. The second time that this happened will be on Thursday night. So that's how special this performance on Thursday night is. This is very rare. Lisa Sokolov is the vocalist on this first piece we'll hear, and Kermit Driscoll is playing bass, as I mentioned before, electric bass in this case. Herb Robertson is the obbligato player. He's playing trumpet. James Emery is playing guitar. I'm playing drums, and I believe that's everybody on the first piece. And I'll try to squeeze in one more, but here is the opening track of the record called Songs for Between the Lines, recorded in between 2000 and 2002 and released in that year. It's called Succotash.